Lord God, what can I do for you? I think a lot of times in any sincere Christian that God has called, that's the question that we often ask. You know, what can I do for you, Lord? I want to do something for you. You know, a lot of times we can feel like, as Paul talked about, the ox goad or the cattle prod, something is prodding you along. And you feel deep inside that you need to do something for God. And often the statement that we make to God is, Lord, what can I do for you? Of course, in any place of business you go into, they sometimes ask, how can I help you? Or, what can I do for you? One gentleman I know, he used to answer the phone like that. He would say, how can I help you? After you say hello, how can I help you? And I always liked that, because it sort of forced you to get to the point as to the reason why you were calling. But Lord, what can I do for you? Now, someone once said this. It said, it's not what you can do for God, but what God is doing in you and through you. It's not so much a matter of what you can do for God, but what God is doing through your life. And a lot of times we sort of begin our day with, oh God, please go with me this day and bless me. And God may say, you have it backwards. I have a will and plan for what I want to do through your life today. I want you to go with me. I want you to go with me. Now there's a verse, when we think about, you know, Lord, what can I do for you? There's a verse in John 5 and verse 17. If you would, you can turn there. John 5 and verse 17. Because we have to make this connection as we ask this question, Lord, what can I do for you? Jesus answered them, and this is in John, the Gospel of John 5 and verse 17. Jesus answered them, my Father works hereunto, and I work. Notice this. He says, my Father's working, and I work. And so when we ask the question, well, Lord, what can I do for you? We have to build that little statement. We have to make this connection that, first of all, God is at work. And Jesus says he's at work. And so what we want to do for God is going to have to fit his program, because he's working, and the Father's working, and Jesus is working. I'm going to skip verse 18, because that's not where I'm going, but verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. Now this is interesting. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. In other words, Jesus said the servant does not take the initiative. We're servants. We don't just jump up, well, I'm going to go do this, you know, and we're just gung-ho and bam, we're out the door, and I'm going to do this for you, Lord. The servant does not take the initiative, but rather watches to see what the master is working and joins him. That's a critical point to realize. Are we in line with God's work? Are we in line with God's will? That's a question I've often asked myself. You know, there are lessons that we learn as parents. We watch our children, and there's lessons that I think applies to our relationship with the Father God as we learn from parenting. Have you ever had a, you know, you were doing a project, working on something, and your child, maybe age 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, wants to help? You know, maybe you give the child a paintbrush, you know, and you're painting something. And the child is, you know, paint is in the grass, it's on their hands, it's on their clothes, it's in their hair, it's up in the air, it's everywhere but where it's supposed to be. And you pretty much, it is precious to see that, but you pretty much know, you know, the child is pretty much just getting in the way. and actually slowing down the progress. You could have done it hours quicker without the help. But it's precious to see that from a parent's perspective. Now, I think about this, and I think, well, God, you know, he's probably pretty much the same way. You know, we come to God offering him things, and God thinks, well, that's precious, and I can probably use you maybe later on. But for the time being, it's sort of pretty much, You know, God might say, you know, you're sort of getting in the way here. you're sort of slowing down progress here. But I'm grateful for your effort that you're trying to do this. And I'm taking notice of that effort of what you're trying to do. Because you're trying to help me. Now often, so the question again is, oh God, what can I do for you? Now often our efforts have to help God have to be redirected. And just like our own children, it takes time for maturity, before you can really be useful to God in His work. You know, it's like a little boy running around with a screwdriver in his hand, you know, taking things apart or tearing things up. You know, but if you were to add 15 years onto that child's life, you know, that young man could really do something with that screwdriver. And all it takes is a little bit of maturity. You know, and so the question is, you know, God, we have to come to a point to where we say, God, I will go where you want me to go. Lord, I will do what you want me to do. God, I'm not going to initiate my ideas and make them fit your will. Let me repeat that. Lord, I'm not going to initiate my ideas and somehow make them fit what you want to do. Now, you know, often, I don't know. You know, sometimes what we want to do may not be that important. You know? And, you know, well, God, I want to be an independent church. Well, that's fine. But is it what God wants? Is it what you want? Is it what God wants? Well, Lord, I want to go to CEM's feast site. Well, that's fine, but is that where God wants you to be? Is that where you need to be? Well, Lord, I want to do this for you. Well, that's fine, but is it what God wants you to do? And I'm talking about coming to a point where you are stripped of what you want. Because like I said, what you really want doesn't matter, does it? I mean, really, from God's perspective. I mean, I think about, you know, at a too young of an age, Rebecca wanted a four-wheeler. And she didn't have the maturity or experience of driving one. But so I guess, you know, I might say I made a mistake. Can't blame this on Teresa. you know, and of course she wrecks and nearly kills herself. But you know, sometimes we ask for things when we're not ready yet from God's perspective. Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to do this, but we're not at that maturity level to do it yet. Remember the mother that said, that may my two children sit on your left hand and right side. And Jesus looked, and Jesus said, you're crazy. You don't know what you're asking for. It was an immature request. They weren't ready for anything like that. And you know. So coming to a point to where you are stripped of what you want, and you're able to say the magic words, speak, Lord. For your servant hears. It's not an issue of what I want. It's not an issue of what my desires are. It's not an issue of where I think I want to go. You lead, I'll follow. Now, what does it mean to be called of God? To be called means that God has a purpose and a mission that He wants to fulfill through you in this life. That's what it means to be called of God. That God has a purpose and a mission for you right now in this life. That's what the calling of God is all about. And that's why, you know, God says we must forsake all that we have. And I don't really think that, I don't really look at that as, you know, we need to sell everything we have or anything like that. I don't think as far as material possessions. I think it may mean more we must forsake my idea, the things that I think I want to do and quit trying to make what I want to do fit God's will. Forcing that, you know, this is what I want to do, and I will make God's will fit into this. Now, what is God's work? What does God want us to do? What does God have going on that we can get behind of? Well, you know, the scripture, the Great Commission, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and teach all nations. And this goes back to what Greg was talking about, you know. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Did you notice that he said, all things I have commanded you? You know, that's sort of like a command. That's an ugly word there. And you're not always going to have a loving response toward that, to that. But he says, all things I have commanded you. This is what I want you to do. So this is the work that we are to get behind of. So when we ask, okay, God, what would you have me to do? Well, right here is some pretty good instructions. Now, when we think about the calling of God, you know, there's no way of knowing how many people God has called. We do know God is calling a first fruit, so that sort of tells us it's not everybody. But when you think about the power that's behind that calling and what God wants you to do, it's incredible to think about that. We really have no excuse as to why we can't do what God has called us to do. There's a couple of scriptures in back I want to turn to in Isaiah 56 and verse 10. I'm going to read this from the New King James. But it sort of reveals that when God makes up his mind to do something, he does it. And God has decided to call you. And the calling of God is about his mission for us, what he wants us to do. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Says this, it says, declaring the end from the beginning and from the past things which were not done, saying, my purpose shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Notice what God says. He says, I'm going to do what I please to do. And his pleasure, part of that, was calling you. It goes on in verse 11. It says, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. If God wants to do that, he can do that. He calls a man for my purpose from a far country. Yes, I have spoken. I will also cause it to come. I have formed. Yes, I will do it. So when we look at this, the power that's behind the calling, I think we spend too much time thinking that that we can or are resisting God's will. A lot of times when we think that, God is just giving us time to mature when we think we're resisting his will. He's saying, you know, I'm going to use you, but you need some time. You know, you're like that little kid throwing paint all around and everywhere and getting it all over the place and making a mess. But a lot of times when we think we're resisting God's will, God is just giving us space to mature. What does it mean to be called of God? Well, God has called you for a purpose and a mission that he wants you to fulfill in this life. It's not what you can do for God, but what God is doing in you and through you. Now, there's something I want us to understand that's critical. That when you lose sight of your calling, your life ends up being futile, empty, frustrated, and meaningless. It's a wretched experience when you lose sight of your calling, of why God has called you. The question is, how long do we allow this to go on? Now, make no mistake about it. God has called you. In Romans, you don't have to turn there, 1 and verse 6. It says, among whom you are also the called of Jesus Christ. God has a mission, a purpose for your life. He has something he wants you to accomplish right now. Now, what are the fruits of this calling, of this life? Should it be a futile, empty, frustrated, meaningless experience where sometimes you even hate to get up out of bed in the morning? No, it shouldn't be that. Absolutely not. It should be what you live for, what your purpose for existing is. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Notice that. Called according to his purpose. The calling of God should be the very thing that we live for, that gets us up in the morning, that Lord, what do you want me to do? Notice Philippians 2 and verse 12. I want to turn to that one. I think that's a good verse. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Good advice. Everybody needs to take that advice. Slow down. Yeah. I remember a bumper sticker. No, I heard about a bumper sticker that said, easy does it. Okay, Philippians 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How do you do that? Well, verse 13 tells us, for it is God which works in you both to will, meaning to act, and to do of his good pleasure. Notice that. God working in you to will, to do his good pleasure. This is the power behind the calling. You know, as the scripture said, who can resist his will? You know, this is the power behind the calling. It is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, there was a time when I realized the power of God's calling more so. And I know when God first called me, I realized that, okay, even though there's things I was struggling with from the Bible, I knew I had to do this. And the power to do it was there. Even some of the stuff I tried to resist. I said, I don't want to go there. But I knew I had to. The first time I spoke, you know, that was something I didn't want to do. But I knew, you know, that energy, that ability to do it came from God. And I knew it was something that I was going to have to do, even though I really didn't want to do it. When I went out to Tyler, Texas for a couple of weeks, you know, I hate school. I mean, I absolutely hate school. And I was not thrilled about going out there. But I knew it was something that, in other words, I could experience and feel the leadership of God's, you know, calling and what he wanted me to do. Of course, when I was ordained, I felt the same thing. But then I spent about 10 years in the ETA. Toward the end of that experience, it was almost this, it's almost as if I felt the lacking of this calling, this push, this drive of where I needed to go. It began to wane. And the question is this, does God's calling, God's mission and purpose for your life, does it get old and boring? Without meaning, without purpose? Is that the way it's supposed to be? No, of course not. Now, I admit it takes a lot to keep me going. I talked to Janie about this. I always, you know, I like to have several projects going on because I'm very creative, and one thing gets boring to me. But you see, God is the most creative being in the world. God knows what it takes to keep your calling exciting. You know, it's not going to get boring. The problem is not with God. The problem is with us, obviously. Turn to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. I want to look at some good instructions for a young man. Paul is talking to Timothy here. And he tells him, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 6. It says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. So what is it that you fear? But of power. What weakness do you have? And of love and in a sound mind. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. To stir up that gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's like an ember. You know, I don't know how many of you burn wood or have a wood stove, but sometimes you got to stir it up. You know, I get up in the morning and the fire is about gone out. And you have to stir it up. You have to get that coal burning. You know, it can be an ember about to go out. And all you have to do is stir it up to get it to come back to life. And this is what I think the Bible is saying to us, that you have to stir up that gift that is in you, that's been given to you. And I remember listening to a message by Charles Stanley, and he was talking about the ministry, and he said, you know, sometimes it's necessary to take a break and to do just this, to say, God, you know, I once experienced this, you know, the power of your calling and the direction of you, your direction in my life, and I need to get that back. And but what I want you to understand of this sermon is that when we lose sight of our calling, your life ends up being futile, empty, frustrated, and meaningless. When you lose sight of God's mission and purpose for you being here. And the question is, how long do we allow it to go on? A lot of times there are things, other things that we turn to when we experience this. We can turn to, you know, drugs, alcohol. We can turn to attachments or addictions. We can turn to entertainment. We can turn to, some people just work, a workaholic. They just work themselves to death trying to fill this void in their life. The thing that we got to realize is to return to God's purpose that He has for you, the mission that He has for you in your calling. You don't have to turn there, but Romans 13 and verse 11 says, "And that knowing the time now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent." This is Romans 13 and verse 12. "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." To get back in touch with the power behind the calling. You know, God, the creator of the universe, has called you. And He has a mission and a purpose He wants you to fulfill. It's not what you can do for God, but what God is doing in and through you. And like I said, a lot of times we start our day with, "Oh God, please go with me this day. Bless me." And God says, "You have it backwards. I have a will and a plan for what I want you to do through your life today." Today. So when we ask the question, "What can I do for God?" I want you to begin your day with these four words. Four words are, every morning when you get up, because it's so easy to take charge of your day. You know, you're up, and before you know it, you are out the door, and you're in charge. But there's a power here if we'll do it. Begin your day with these four words. You lead, I'll follow.